Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 14, titled Introducing the Bride in New Jerusalem. This is part 2 of 2.
Like they're too spiritual to think about their future home. God gave us all this information and wants us. Well, let's look. I think I might have a few things to say about that. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. How many of you can name the 12 apostles? You're not raising your hand because you're afraid I'm going to ask you to stand up and do it. I want to tell you, it's not easy. That's harder for me than the 12 tribes, because only a handful of them get mentioned very often. Lebbeus, Thaddeus. How many of you, that ring a bell? You know, you don't hear about, you know. We know 11 of the 12 names from the Gospels, but in the New Jerusalem, one of the original 12 isn't going to be listed. In Matthew 10, we're told the names of the 12 apostles, and when he had called unto him, first it calls him his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then it says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. And Andrew, number 2, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, number 3. John, his brother, number 4. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and here's Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. That's 10. Simon the Canaanite. He wasn't a Canaanite genetically. He was living in the region they called Canaan. We live in Canaan now, so you can call me Greg the Canaanite. We live in Canaan Township. And then there's this one, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So the first 11 are going to be on the foundations of the New Jerusalem, but the 12th isn't. So the question is, does Matthias or Paul replace Judas as the 12th apostle? If you go to Acts chapter 1, they replace Paul with Matthias, but they do it in a very strange way. They cast lots, and then they pray, and they believe that God has done that. But then it would seem to be clear to me that Paul would be the one to replace him, but Paul doesn't include himself among the 12. Yeah, Doug?
I wanted to bring up something real important. When you're talking to people like I do out there at the military base, a lot of different people, some people will say, like the Latter-day Saints, we have 12 apostles. Mm. That's impossible, because that word means the ones that seen the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, we saw them in a dream.
Yeah.
What were you smoking?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a couple of studies online. If anyone has questions about that, as you're watching or listening, of what the signs of an apostle and the qualifications of an apostle is, you had to be handpicked by the resurrected Jesus Christ. These 11 were all confirmed after his resurrection. And that's the question with Matthias and Paul, though, because Matthias was also a witness of his resurrection. And I don't know why it's doing that, but 1 Corinthians 5:5 and 5:8, Paul says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, meaning all 12. That's his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection. Then verse 8 says, and last of all, he was seen of me also. So see, he doesn't include himself in the 12. And he's not obviously referring to Judas, because Judas committed suicide, didn't see the resurrected Jesus. So that is the hard case there, that it's actually Matthias and not Paul that's considered one of the 12. But unlike the 12 tribes, we don't get a list of them in the book of Revelation. Yeah?
Cephas, isn't that another name for Peter?
Yeah, that's who that is. That's why it says Cephas and then of the 12 including him.
Oh.
And then later, last of all, he was seen of me also. Now, if Paul was one of the 12, he would have included himself in that, as he did Cephas there.
So Matthias
is a stronger case, in my opinion, but it's just strange, isn't it? And you think about Paul being the apostle that was so mightily used of God and everything.
I know where Paul might have some other
things. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We don't. There's going to be awards. There's going to be crowns. There's going to be kingdoms within the kingdom, and all that that Paul's going to be rewarded with, and I'm sure he's going to be very happy. So the names of the 12 apostles, I list them this way on my notes. And that is Peter, Andrew, James Z, John Z for Zebedee. And you know what we would call him today is Zebedeeson. The son of Zebedee. Zebedeeson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like if he's son of Smith, he'd be Smithson. Maybe too late. We don't know. Philip and Bartholomew, that's six. And then we get seven is Thomas. Eight is Matthew. Nine is James A. Alphaeus. And then you have Levius, Simon C. for Canaanite. And then I put Matthias or Paul because I just can't say 100% for sure either way.
So Luke is, which one's Luke?
Luke's not one of the 12 apostles. Some of them, yeah, there's a couple of them that... Luke's not one of them, though.
What are those guys?
Okay, I don't want to get into this too much tonight. We got to move on. But that's good information. It's a good study. There are some who have other names like Peter, Simon Peter, and he's also known as Cephas. So we'll do a study on the apostles sometime. We'll cover all that. We've done it before, but evidently we need to do it again. I don't even know who the mayor of Columbus is, I'll be honest with you.
He's just as much corrupt as the previous one.
Thankfully, I don't have anything to do with Columbus politics. Don't work there, don't live there, don't even visit there anymore. Last time I was there was a football game. So one thing for certain is about this matter of the apostles, God knows.
Amen.
And I think it's neat that there are some things we're not going to know this side of heaven. Does Adam have a navel? I don't think so. But there are some people who make the argument that since all the rest of us did, he was created to look like a full-grown male, and so God put a navel on him. Some of you look real concerned about the answer to that question. Yes. Wouldn't you like to know? Tonight's the night you can be saved, and you can know. That's probably not going to win anybody to the Lord. But that's the good reason to go to heaven. So we can only imagine for now. But this is kind of like what God's done in the book of Revelation. He's given us a little peek into the keyhole. And just, you know, from the word of God itself, we just get a little glimpse and enough to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And this should, what all this should do is make us all homesick, is what my point is. That's your real home. This is your real home we're talking about. And we're going to close with this passage from Paul that I think is fitting in Colossians chapter 3. And we're given this information, and that guy that said, oh, I just think it's almost materialistic and all that nonsense. No, God wants you to be setting your affection on things above. He wants you to think about how much better it's going to be where we're going. He doesn't want us to be attached to things down here. And Colossians 3:1, Paul's speaking of how we as believers and being born again, we are risen with Christ. We are already in Him. We are seated in heavenly places with Him. We are risen with Him. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And that's the place we're reading about now. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Yeah, that's what a long while back I taught a message, dead man walking. You know, and you take a guy on death row, and when they walk him out to execution, I don't know if they still do this, but they used to yell, dead man walking! And they were walking this man that was about to die, but he was as good as dead. Well, that's not a very happy thing to think about. But in our case, you and I can be relieved, and we can have peace, and we can have joy knowing that we are dead to this world. Because of what Christ has done in us, we are risen with Him, and what our life is in our home that God Himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, has gone to prepare for us. And that's where, if you want to be spiritually minded, that guy that said, "Oh, I just think it's materialist," it's the exact opposite of the truth. The truth is, if you're really spiritually minded, you're going to be distracted to an extent with the desire of going home. It never gets old whenever Jenny and I have issues that we're dealing with and something comes up, our health or issue, like we've had moving and stuff going on, sometimes be very stressful and all this thing. Sometimes people can just drive you crazy. And I'm not talking about me driving Jenny crazy or her driving me crazy. I'm talking about a lot of other people can drive us crazy. Amen? But no matter what it is, how many times Jenny have looked at each other and said, "Oh, I'm just so glad this is not our home." And we pray, and we say, we just pray, "Lord, come quickly. We're ready to go. And, you know, we'll stay here as long as you want us to, but we're ready to go." And I just feel like that's the attitude that we should have, because it says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Not only in glory, but you will be in glory. You'll be in a glorified body, in that glorified body, in the glory of heaven. As we started our reading, the glory, the light. Just an amazing thing. All right. I'd like to have a word of prayer, and that way if anybody wants to leave, they can, but we have time for a Q&A. Afterward, Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and do pray it's as much an encouragement to those studying with us as it has been to me as I studied in preparation. And Lord, as we read through our Bible, we're getting ready to come to an end of another year, and I just hope that most of the folks, I would hope all of us in this room, have read through the Bible this year at least once, or at least coming to the end of reading through it once this year. And others have read through it more than once. And we come to the end of the year, we'll pick it up again and just start all over, reading through it again. And it's so wonderful to read through that book. Every time we learn more, we also recognize more about our home. We recognize more about Jesus and what He's done for us. And Lord, we just ask that You have your hand upon this church family and each individual. Help us to avoid the illness that's going around. And also, again, with this smoke and everything in the air, folks can avoid the bad effects of that. And Lord, we just place our lives in your hands. And as we battle some of these things with our physical bodies and our lives, it's just a reminder of that time that's going to come when we will not have to worry about these things. Our glorified body will never have to worry about allergies and flus and other things. And we just thank you for that and ask your blessings and safe travel for everyone here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody have any questions or comments? Now's the time.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't answer the question.
No, he said that
it's for you to know.
The Father will give that announcement at due time. Amen. Yeah, Johnny?
And so you said Luke was not one of the apostles, but
no.
any of the four gospels?
Mark
wasn't either?
Yeah.
So I guess that would give additional evidence that just because Paul wrote a bunch of the books of the Bible doesn't mean...
Well, yeah. Being a author doesn't necessarily mean.
Mark and Luke weren't apostles either.
Because, you know, in the Old Testament, there's books are written that we're not even 100% sure who the author is. You know, and not all the prophets wrote books. On the flip side, we know that prophets are named in the Old Testament that we don't have any books by them. So, yeah, that's not a one-to-one correlation there for prophets or apostles.
You went over 1 Corinthians 15:5 and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12.
Yeah.
So Cephas is Peter.
Yeah.
But it's almost like...
No, if you go back and read it in the Bible itself, he was seen of Peter, and then Peter was one of the 12 who also saw him a second time. Yeah. But then in verse 8, Paul is saying he wasn't part of that 12. He was seen after that. So if he would have been one of the 12, he would have seen said something like, then I saw him again, you know, or something like that, and he doesn't. There's a book, all the apostles in the Bible, but I cannot off the top of my head remember the fellow's name. He wrote the a book, a lot of these books, all of the prophets in the Bible and all the different, I can't remember his name now, but I'll try to remember that. I've been watching for a years ago, they sold those in a small paperback, and they were only like $3 each. And if I could find those, I'd buy a bunch and offer them here for everybody, but haven't been able to find that for a long time. Yeah, Johnny?
So this is an interesting thought then. So when it's saying about then seen of the 12, does it sound like it's referring to like that part where Jesus appeared in the midst of them? Or and just some event that we're not sure exactly.
Well, I think the first sighting, that would have been true. And then he also spent 40 days, you know, providing infallible proofs to the...
Yeah,
500.
That was before they chose the top.
Five.
What Paul is saying there, that was... That event was before a 12th apostle had been chosen by any of the 12 or the 11. So that's an interesting thought there that he says, seed of the 12.
Yeah, well, Matthias was there.
Yeah.
But
that doesn't mean it was at one time. It was just he was seed of the 12.
Yeah.
Period.
Right. And Matthias would have been there even though he hadn't have been officially installed.
that implies, obviously, God had already chosen the 12 prophets.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have to believe that God had his hand in how it all worked out. The just question is which one of the, you know, because there's other named apostles, you know, other than the 12. It's like there's times where he groups Peter, James, and John are referred to as the three, you know. For some reason, they were during Christ's ministry. They were kind of pulled out as his inner circle, I guess you'd say, or whatever. And then, but then the other nine were equally apostles, and then you have the seven in the Book of Acts. They were chosen. Where Stephen was one of them, and they referred to Stephen and Philip and all the others. They were called the seven, and so there was more apostles than the 12, but there were 12 who were considered the 12. And that's the question then, who jumped into that role, filled the shoes of Judas.
Wouldn't be hard to fill them, at least as far as in the good direction.
Right, because we know he was a thief.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jesus said he was a devil. So, yeah. I have chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. We love to mention that really messes up the Calvinist definition of chosen. Obviously, if the chosen was to salvation, then Judas would have to be saved. Yeah, even after all that he did. And we know he's not. He's a devil.